Okay, we ended last week with the water turning to blood. The first plague was the end of chapter 7 of Exodus. So we begin this week, chapter 8, with the second plague. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up.'" Now, some of you think, so far, that's not a bad thing. Some of you kids would like to see a lot of frogs, right? But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's look. "Which shall go up and come into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed." Would you like to sleep with frogs on your bed? I don't think so.
Not only that, but the noise they make. Night before last, when we got that rain,
you heard.
We were in our bedroom, and I could hear them frogs. They're just going crazy, you know, chirping away.
Well, she doesn't mind them.
Yeah. Into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servant, on your people, into your ovens, into your kneading bowls. You're in kitchen, you're trying to cook dinner, and the frogs are jumping into everything. "And the frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. And they've turned back into water from blood by this time. "And the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments." So Pharaoh's magicians were able to do this, or at least it appeared that way, to Moses and Aaron, and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said," because, I mean, by this time, with frogs everywhere, in the kitchen, in the bedroom, on your body, everywhere, he's tired. So he called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." So he's going to let the people go. And Moses said to Aaron, Moses said to Pharaoh, "Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you and for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses that they may remain in the river only." In other words, he told Pharaoh, "You tell me when it should happen. I'll leave you the honor of telling me when." So Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." And he said, Moses told him, "Okay, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you and from your houses and from your servants and from your people, and they shall remain in the river only." Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the courtyards and out of the fields. Now, notice it says they died out. Now, what does that mean? You've got to clean them out. They die in your bedroom. They die in your kitchen. They die in your houses. That was fun. Wasn't that fun? Yeah. So they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. Ooh. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. So now we are plague number 3. Yes, Tom.
On that part that you're just talking about, the frogs, that's the first light coming out of Pharaoh for his Moses and
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Brother Rudy.
But the Bible also says, and Moses knew because God told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart so he could manifest his glory.
Right.
in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see that stated again. We are now at the third plague. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod. Now, the last time was stretch out your hand. This time, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land. The reason I point out those things is we need to learn to read the scriptures looking for every little detail.
Amen.
Every little detail, and then ponder it. And oftentimes, as you're pondering the details, the Lord will give you insight into the detail. He'll speak to you in that way. He'll open the scriptures to you. Stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. How many of you have ever had lice, or your children have ever had lice, or if one child gets lice in school, they send the child home. I mean, it is a major ordeal.
When I went to school, we didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Now these days is bad.
Well, it's just, let's look and see what happens. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and he struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. And all the dust of the land became lice. Can you imagine how much dust there was? So how many lice? Can you imagine being covered with lice? In your nose? In your ears? Yes. The little teeny lice are lice. Yes, the little teeny, teeny. Yes, Linda.
The Egyptians were one of the first communities of people that kept cats.
Okay.
They worshipped cats.
Yeah, well, the lice was on everything. Man and beast, all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. But here again, now look. Now we see a distinction. Now the magicians so work with their enchantment to bring forth lice, but they could not. Now they can't do it. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They are starting to see the power of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. The Lord told him, now we're at the fourth plague. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go so that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, and on your people, and into your houses. And the houses of Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. So what is that telling us? Up to this time, whatever happened with the Egyptians was also happening with God's people. They had to deal with the lice. They had to deal with the frogs. But you know what? Remember, they were the ones that were kind of unbelieving, right? When they were the ones that were complaining to Moses and Aaron that you put a sword in Pharaoh's hand to slay us with. But now he makes a distinction. I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. That's the purpose. It was to show the Egyptians he is God. They weren't going to believe unless they saw signs and wonders. Remember, an evil and perverse generation seeketh after a sign. That's what it takes. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. But the Egyptians had to have these kind of signs to believe. Well, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt, the land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Have you ever seen what a bunch of flies does to a counter? Or it does to a windowsill?
Oh, yeah.
The little dots. Now, how many of you have tried to take a nap and one fly, just one fly, kept landing on your face? You know, have you ever had that happen? And can you imagine swarms? Swarms of flies. All covering the ground. It's just...
Flies were maggots, right, sir?
Possibly earlier.
They grow like to be a fly.
Then Pharaoh called for Moses. Quickly, probably. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God. Notice, in the land. He's seeking to compromise. All right. You can go worship your God, but stay in Egypt. No 3-day journey. And Moses said, it's not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. In other words, the Egyptians didn't appreciate the way the Hebrews worshiped. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. Then Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. Isn't that amazing? The contrast that they can see according to the word of the Lord. That you just, it's suddenly from being everywhere to being gone. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. As soon as the flies were gone, in other words, I got relief. So neither would he let the people go. All right. Now, this time, remember, beginning with this last plague, which is the fourth one, the fourth plague was the plague of the flies. Only the Egyptians are suffering the consequences of the plagues from now on. So the fifth plague, we're in chapter 9 now. We've entered chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold to them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep. Notice there's a common animal, missing in that. There's horses, donkeys, camels, oxen, and sheep. There's a pretty prominent animal not mentioned.
Dogs.
Well, goats. Goats are not mentioned. They're very common at the time. But anyway, it's going to be a very severe pestilence. Okay? And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Now, all of this livestock dies. So what do you do? What do you have to do with dead livestock? You have to burn it or bury it, because anybody smelled just a small dead animal? But cows? Horses?
We had a bunch of them.
I Like, it just, and think about this. Remember, this is compiled weariness. This is going on and on. They've just recovered from lice and frogs and flies. There's no relief. They get a break, and then here comes another severe, the hand of the Lord severely touches them again. And the Lord will, anyway, but the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. So now we are at the sixth plague. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Up to this time, they've only had to deal with things in their house, but not on their bodies. But now sores are going to break out, and they're already tired. They've got to already be irritated and frustrated and worn out and angry. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. It's just, wow. I mean, what is it going to take to break this man? Yeah, Brother Sam.
He said that on the last one, all the animals had died.
Mm-hmm.
And now it says that all the boils and everything were on beasts too.
Yeah, man and beast. And actually, there's one more plague with that good observation. That's paying attention to detail. We do not know what length of time transpires between some of these plagues. We assume they're close. Now, if you had lost all your livestock, you know how you depend on livestock, what would you do? You would go to the neighboring countries and buy livestock. So I'm assuming the reason there's more livestock is because they had to go replace it and purchase it. That's what we can safely assume. We don't know the answer exactly, but there were nations around Egypt that weren't involved in these plagues that had already been selling, cattle and livestock to the Egyptians. So, because remember, the Egyptians really didn't deal in livestock themselves. Because that was, remember, they were the detestable. The Hebrews did that. And so this is something that they were probably already used to, is purchasing livestock, and they must have gone and purchased some more. All right, the seventh plague. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now this is interesting. Look at what the Lord says. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut out from the earth. Now, that is a wonderful statement, because it tells us, it does remind us of something. God could have just chosen one plague. He could have just chosen to wipe out the Egyptians with one breath, but he chose to string it along. How many of us know that God lets a situation that we're in go, and little relief, go and go and go, and it's not instantaneous, right?
He could have used a volcano.
He could have whatever. He could have just snapped his finger. He could have made it one act, but he chose this. Remember why he chose this? He is making a name for himself. He wants people to know he is the Lord, and there is none like him. And that's what he says. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. This verse 16 is quoted by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 9, when he's talking about God's sovereignty. God allows Pharaoh to exist so that God could show his power. That's why he allowed him to exist. And God allows evil in the earth to exist so that he can also show his power over evil at times. Yes. Somebody again? Maria?
You know, I see that he says, if I had stretched out my hand, is that why he used Aaron's or Moses?
You know what? That's a very good observation, Maria, because, I mean, if the Lord himself, maybe he's saying, I've tempered it. Look, I'm just showing you just a fringe of my power right now. If the Lord allowed his anger to be unrestrained, the earth would melt. I believe the universe could dissolve. He's just that kind of power. Yes,
Christian. Okay, all these plagues were happening on Egyptians, right?
Mm-hmm.
So could Egyptians themselves, could some of them have taken off?
Well, at this time, there is a growing concern among the Egyptians of why Pharaoh is not. And we'll see. You know, some of them could have just have fled, you know, possibly. But, you know, it's hard to leave everything to go where? You know, to go where? I mean, it's a difficult thing to do. And maybe they just kept hoping that someone would stop this God and this Moses person. Rudy?
There is the possibility, underlining possibility. Egypt was at this time the leading civilization. A lot of people who were not Egyptians were in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
like the Nubians,
mm-hmm.
and other people.
Libyans,
mm-hmm. yes.
Ethiopians.
So it is possible that because God has an agenda with the Egyptians, all these other people were spared from mm-hmm. what the Egyptians were experiencing.
It could be. Very good point. All these things are wonderful to ponder. Verse 17, as you yet exalt yourself against my people and that you will not let them go, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now. Now this is God in his kindness giving a warning through Moses. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock. See, there's a question, Sam. Where are these livestock? Probably the ones that they had repurchased. Gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. And here's your question. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. So there were people beginning to fear the Lord. Some of the Egyptians were starting to get it. And those that made their servants go get their livestock into the houses were ready. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. And there's that where I had that question. We've answered that by at least given an idea that these livestock were those that had been, that had replaced the ones that had died earlier. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, and that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. That's interesting. Fire among the hail. Wow. I believe in their mind, it could have been electricity, bolts, like charge, because it would spark and arc. What would it look like to them? Fire. They didn't have power lines back then, so it was such an electrical storm that it was literally arcing. There was so much power in the atmosphere. You know,
I've often been interested in earth science about
earthquakes and volcanoes, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of probably inactive now, but there's been a lot of volcanoes over that area in the Middle East.
Could have been involved, you're saying. Yeah, but then?
Lightning.
Yeah, it's very much. We know it's a form of lightning that just, but it looked to them as if it was fire mingled with hail, and so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. He's shook by this one. This one is shook in him. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord, and the thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now, Moses has finally kind of understood what God has told him. He's got a better picture of what this is about. Now, it says the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud, but the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. In other words, they're just barely coming up, these wheat and spelt. So, when Pharaoh, I think what he's, the reason that's pointed out is when they realize, wait a minute, we still have some crops we can get, even though the barley and the flax are ruined, the wheat and the spelt weren't up enough to be damaged by the hail. Well, this gives Pharaoh a little inch. And so Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, and neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So, chapter 10, the eighth plague. Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. And remember, the Lord had told Abraham 400 and something years earlier about his people dwelling in a land and being mistreated for 400 years, but he would come and visit them, and through his mighty hand would bring them forth, and they would plunder those that had held them captive. So this is being fulfilled right now, so that you can tell your sons and your grandsons the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? Wow. What a deal. But that's going to be it for tonight. Okay, that we're going to stop there. So now even Pharaoh's servants are saying, we can't take anymore. You've got to let the people go. The land is ruined. And we're going to see what happens this next time. I do have just a prayer, some specific prayer requests. But a minute. Go ahead, Priscilla. Ask your question first.
Okay, so the servants are at this point. So there must have been people, too. So the ones that finally, like, yeah, you know, he's God, you got your God. Were they still suffering the pain?
Yeah, well, I think so. I'm not, it's a good question. It's something I can't fully answer, but...
What is the question?
She was asking the ones that had begun to realize God is the Lord, were they still suffering the plagues?
Well, they were part of Egypt.
I think so, and that's what I think so. Yeah. You know, because with each degree of suffering more, their hearts became even more. And remember, these were people who had been just fine with killing the Hebrew male children for years. These were people that were exploiting, that they had enslaved God's people a long time. So even though they may be having a change of heart now, they're forced into it. You know, you've heard a little late,
yeah.
You know, but so, but.
So even if you're an Egyptian and not living right there, you were somewhere else suffering? Mm-hmm.
It was a difficult environment, okay?